I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
This is the Game Misconduct Podcast with Don LaGreca.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to a brand new 2021 edition of Game Misconduct. Nearly 10 months ago, we had to sign off because of the pandemic. We ended up missing an entire Stanley Cup championship. My apologies, but we just did not have the personnel. But things are slowly but surely beginning to open up. We've got a brand new season. And I thought to myself, what better way to start the new era of Game Misconduct than to go to our old friend, the great, with no exaggeration, E.J. Raddick. How are you, sir? Are you healthy? Are you well?
Oh, hey. I'm well. I'm very excited to be back with you. Just finished the World Junior Championships we had on the NHL Network. Did a lot of pre and post around that in between periods. It was a lot of fun, a great tournament. Team USA with a, I would say, surprising gold medal win, being that Canada was playing so well in the tournament. But, you know, it was terrific. And now we're off on the eve, so to speak, of a 56-game sprint in kind of a crazy new world that has an original six feel to it.
Sure.
With teams playing only within their division. I mean, people ask, what was the original six like? I mean, it was kind of like what you're going to see, where teams played each other all the time.
Yeah.
And so it should be very fun, and we'll see how it plays out, and you know, and then we'll get off to the playoffs, and you know, it's going to be bumpy. I'm sure there's going to be, you know, we've seen it in all the sports, Don. There's going to be issues along the way, I'm sure, but let's hope for the best.
Oh, we've seen it already with Dallas and Florida having to reschedule games. I mean, I think that's the world we live in. We got a sneak peek during Major League Baseball and the NFL. These games are going to be moved. Games are going to be postponed. And I guess there's always the possibility, EJ, of maybe having to go to a percentage type of situation where you might get like what happened to the St. Louis Cardinals in baseball, where they just couldn't play the allotted games. We might get to a situation where there might be a team that played three or four less games because they couldn't make them up. We hope that doesn't happen, but you got to be open to everything, right? Because what we've seen with this pandemic is you got to be able to change on the fly.
That's correct. Absolutely true. And the league's going to do what they can, and we'll see where we end up.
Now, the other aspect of, talk about throwback, you know, you got the original six of playing within your own division, but you also have the top four teams in said division advancing, which is also old school.
Yeah. I mean, it's and everybody's going to come out of that division. And, you know, the other thing for fans, Donnie, that they don't maybe realize is that when they get to the Final Four, they're just going to reseed them. So the good news about that is that the two very best teams during the regular season, that points-wise, that end up in that Final Four, will get a chance to play one another in the Cup Final if they advance through the semifinal. So you don't see that every day. I mean, the last time we saw something like that was probably going all the way back to the Islanders' first Stanley Cup in 1980 when the Flyers and Islanders ended up in the Cup Final against one another. That was a year that they did a 1-16 format, which, I mean, that's kind of the ideal format for me. But, you know, for a number of reasons, all the sports leagues don't play that kind of way. They break up into conferences, divisions for a number of reasons. But this year you have the possibility of the very best two teams outside of each division, obviously. You know, if two teams are in the same division, they'll end up playing, you know, in the second round probably. But after that, you have an opportunity of a different kind of Stanley Cup final, which would be interesting.
Yeah, and what I love from our sensibility here in the East is the way they put together to have the Rangers play Boston eight times. I mean, that's going to be great. I mean, it's not great for Ranger fans to have that on their schedule. You know, obviously the divisions are all not equal. They didn't put these together based on how good they are. They were put together on how close in proximity they were geographically. So that's going to be a burden for some teams to now have to deal with a good team like Boston or something like that. But, you know, it still makes for great rivalries. Islanders, Rangers right out of the box playing back-to-back games, getting a chance to play eight times during the course of a 56-game schedule is going to make it fun. But in prognosticating all this, EJ, it's difficult because I think the East has more than four playoff teams, don't you?
Yeah. Yes, I do. But unfortunately, they will only have four playoff
right.
teams. So, you know, somebody's going to be out. That's about all I can say. I mean, and it could be like a very good team and a team that has had a lot of success over many years. I mean, I've been talking about Pittsburgh as one that I'm, you know, they've made a lot of changes. I mean, Pittsburgh and Washington are in the same boat. They're trying to, you know, keep that window open as long as possible with great players to be successful. So they make moves. They've changed coaches over the years. They've brought in different players. I mean, Washington has Peter Laviolette in his first year. And Peter has historically been good in his first season. So, in whatever place he's been. So, you know, somebody's going to be out, and it'll be very interesting to see who it's going to be.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
I guess that's what could be very frustrating, because there is the possibility, and there's nothing you can do to avoid this, that the fifth place team in the East may have more points than, say, even the third place team in the other division. So, I mean,
that's
old days where, like, Toronto would make the playoffs in the Norris division with, like, 66 points, and sometimes you'd see a team in the 90s miss because they were in a tougher division. And I think that's going to be tough for a lot of people to take, because Washington and Pittsburgh, you know, full disclosure, when I take a look at that East and you figure out, I think the Boston, the Rangers, the Islanders, the Flyers, those are my four playoff teams. I've got Washington and Pittsburgh out. And it's tough to do that because I respect both of those teams. But I don't think they're better than the other four. And we could debate that, but the one thing we can't debate is who's ever 5 and 6 can't make it in. So that's
right.
going to be what's going
right.
to be fun.
They are out. They are out. At 5 and 6. There's no debate. They will not be in. I mean, like in the West, for example, Colorado, St. Louis, and Vegas are clearly the cream of the crop in that division. Like, that's the only one for me where I was like, all right, who's going to, you know, really had to give it some thought. And, like, you know, I guess Minnesota has a shot at 4. San Jose, if they can get kind of their act together, I think they had a lot of rest, got a lot of guys healthy. There's a lot of reason for that team to try to be better this year, although they start off with a weird circumstance. They can't be at home. And then they have the news now of Evander Kane going through some kind of potential bankruptcy and not certain if he's going to play. So, you know, these are things you don't need as you move forward into this, where you're looking to get off to a good start to build a little cushion for yourself. So, but, you know, you're right. I could easily see a scenario where the fifth or even sixth team in that Eastern Division ends up with more points than the fourth team in the West, you know. So it's, you know, these are things you're going to have to live with. You know, I know in the return to play last year, they cut off at 24 teams, and, you know, people had different opinions about, you know, why had those other 8 teams, or why did this team get in? And, you know, listen, at the end of the day, we are in a worldwide pandemic. We are lucky to be playing. So, you know, the league has done its best to try to come up with a scenario that we can play. And I think fans should, you know, there might be disappointment for some teams at the end of this rainbow, but you know, the fact that we're going to attempt to do it should bring some really joy. Should bring a lot of joy to hockey fans who, you know, let's face it, this world we live in right now, Donnie, for a lot of reasons, is kind of screwed up. So to be able to sit and watch a hockey game for a couple hours, if you're a hockey fan, should be a real treat.
Yeah, and then tomorrow it all starts. We'll have a game at 5:30. It's not going to be quite the way it was in the bubble where we had games, it felt like, all day long. But you're going to see, I mean, I'm seeing a lot of odd start times, afternoon start times, and we're just going to have a chock full of hockey, and it's just going to be a lot of fun. And in a 56-game schedule, unfortunately, EJ, we've went through this before with the 48-game schedules with the lockouts in 95 and 13, where we've kind of know the groundwork of how important every game is going to be. And one bad week could be absolutely killer, especially in the divisions that are going to be so difficult, like the East. You know, you have a bad 4 or 5 games, you might not be able to recover from that.
Yeah, it'll definitely hamper you, and I think a good start is really essential if you want to get there. I mean, if you can get a good start and be able to build on that, that's ideal, right? And so I think all the teams will be looking for that, but there are going to be a lot of things out of people's control. I mean, obviously injuries are always out of your control, and you know, the COVID circumstances with you know, you get an outbreak within your team at a wrong time. That's problematic. I mean, goaltenders, they have to have 3 goalies within each group. You know, we've seen teams go through goalies, Don. Every year it seems like somebody gets bit by that bug. I can remember a couple years back, Vegas. Remember, Vegas went through several goalies.
Oh, my God, yeah, like 4 or 5, 6,
maybe. One of their first 2 seasons. I mean, it was crazy what I can remember that happening.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
What are some of the teams that you've got an eye on, both good and bad? You know, there's been a lot of changeover, as you said, Washington, new coach, Pittsburgh's had a lot of changes now. Is there one or two teams, we'll start with the good, where you look at and say, I'm really expecting big things from them?
Oh, well, Colorado is the team that I really like the most. Yeah. I mean, I just think they're loaded at every position. And, you know, the only thing is, and it's a big question mark, is that, you know, is Phil Grubauer going to stay healthy and is he going to be good enough to get them to the playoffs? I mean, last year he got hurt twice. He got hurt at the end of the season, well, before we stopped. He got hurt in that outdoor game they played at the Air Force Academy, the Avalanche and LA Kings, and that was somewhere in the middle or late February. And then when we shut down in March, obviously it didn't matter. And then we came back and played in the return to play, and he ended up getting hurt again. And in fact, Francois is the backup. He also got hurt. So that is a position that I thought that Joe Sakic would try to upgrade because they're so close right now. I think their team to winning. So, but they're going to move forward, and they've got a big window. I mean, this is a team, you know, Cale Makar was just a rookie of the year. He's a big time player. Bowen Byram, I saw him for Team Canada at the World Juniors. I mean, he's a tremendous talent. I mean, to think they're going to have those two guys on the back end for the next 10, 12, 15 years is really, it's amazing to think about. Not to mention you have Nathan MacKinnon, who for my money is the best player in the league right now as we speak. Rantanen, Landeskog, Kadri as a second center. I mean, they're really slotted really well. So I like their team a lot. I have high expectations for them. But they're in a tough division with St. Louis and with Vegas. You know, I'll be curious on a local standpoint to see where the Rangers are at. I mean, with so many really good young players, you know, like Lafreniere, we'll see where he's going to, you know, he's making his NHL debut, how things look for him. Capo in year 2, what strides he's made moving forward. Can Panarin and Zibanejad have the kind of years they had last year when, you know, they were arguably top 10 players in the league? I mean, Panarin was a Hart Trophy finalist and could have easily won that trophy based on his the way he impacted the Rangers. And Zibanejad just was like shot out of a cannon over the second half of the season. He had injuries early in the year that caused him to miss a couple weeks, and yet, I mean, he had over 40 goals and was, I think he led the league in goals per game last year. So, you know, and obviously Shesterkin in goal, Lundqvist, you know, out of the picture. You know, how's that going to look over the course of a 56-game sprint of a season? So I think there's just a lot of interesting stories with the Rangers. I don't think they're going to be in that Final Four because I think a lot of guys that had, like, I never think it's hard to have great seasons like that back to back. You know, it's hard for Panarin to better what he did last year. You know, it's hard for Zibanejad to be, you know, to be the goals a game leader in the National Hockey League, you know, again. You know, I just think, you know, that's the rare thing that happens. So if you have a little regression there, some of those players, like an Anthony DeAngelo, had over 50 points, I think, last year. He was one of the few defensemen. There was five or six that had that many points last year. Can he be that productive again? You know, these younger players, again, some of them may move forward. Kaapo-Kakko may be better this year. But I just think this is kind of still a team that needs another year to really find its way. I could be wrong. They could blow everybody's doors off. They've got a lot of talent. But I'll be really curious to watch them, because I think certainly the Rangers have a team, and with all the young players they have, and then they have more guys coming in their system. I mean, this could be a team that is at the very top of the National Hockey League for, you know, battling with the Colorados. And, you know, some of those teams in the West have a big player pool of really good young players, Anaheim and L.A. But the Rangers certainly could be one of these teams that are that could be on a long run of success with the young players they have.
I'm with you. And the interesting thing is, even if you were to say Zibanejad and Panarin could duplicate what they did last year, remember, it wasn't enough. Even that season wasn't enough. They weren't going to the playoffs.
That's right. That's what I'm saying.
Yes.
Yeah.
But my prognostication comes into, all right, well, who is going to step up? Somebody needs to. You know, so will Kreider find that consistency? Strome was very good for them, but can he find the consistency? Will Kakko make that jump from year one to year two? Because he went through a lot in his rookie year. If he's better, and Lafreniere, if he can have a great first year, I think you're going to get, quite frankly, better goaltending over the long term, because I think Shesterkin is a legit goaltender. So I'm a little more bullish on them just because I think there are guys that are ready to emerge. But your point is well taken. You saw it in the Colorado brief series in the qualifying round last year. You shut the two big guns down. They couldn't find another goal. They couldn't find a line to be able to produce. And you know what happens? You end up putting those guys together out of desperation, which to me almost makes it easier to defend them, because now everybody else gets exposed more because they're getting more ice time, and it becomes a vicious cycle. So they're going to need, no matter what, those guys to step up, and I think there's enough guys that can do it. The Islanders are interesting to me too, because I don't think last year was any kind of fluke. So are they going to sustain, or are they ready to take that next step to dance with the big time teams?
Well, I mean, let's face it, they went to the Eastern Conference Finals six games against the Tampa Bay Lightning last year. So I mean, they've been there already. I mean, they're close. I mean, they're six wins away from winning a Stanley Cup, where they were. So I favor the Islanders coming into this, just because I always favor structure and good goaltending and good defense. And the Islanders have all those things. And think about, you know, Donnie, we've been talking about hockey for 20 years, probably going back to our days with the NHL Live radio show and seeing all these different, you know, teams, kind of the cycle of how teams play. And for me to be standing here talking about I favor the Islanders because of the structure and the culture. And, like, I mean, that was something that was foreign to that franchise for like 25 years.
See, you make the right hire, right?
Yeah.
You make the right hire and everything. To me, the Islander situation kind of exposes, we talk about ownership, right? We talk about great ownership. Well, if you hire the right guy, then your ownership and everything looks better. And they hired Lou, and Lou that's what you do. You hire Lou, you'll hire Barry Trotz. All of a sudden, your organization that's a thread away from playing in Kansas City all of a sudden becomes a team that's on the verge of winning a Stanley Cup. It's crazy, right?
Yeah, you know. Listen, a couple of things. I mean, first of all, I would say that, you know, the previous regime with Gart Snow and that group, I mean, they acquired a lot of good players. I mean, through drafts, and they did, you know, now they had a lot of misses as well and made some mistakes, but they, you know, they really, the core of this team is a lot of guys that were drafted by Gart Snow and his group when you look at it. So you got to give them some credit for that end of it. The franchise was fortunate. Lamoriello became available. The timing was right. I mean, a year earlier, 2 years earlier, maybe, you know, they still have committed to Gart Snow. But the timing was right, and so they bring in Lou. And then what happens for Lou? Barry Trotz wins the Stanley Cup and he becomes available. And the Islanders are able to grab Barry Trotz. So, you know, it just things worked out, and now they have a new building coming down the road that's going to be a terrific facility for them. They already have a great practice facility. I mean, now they become a destination for free agents, you know, if and when we get back, hopefully, you know, God willing, we get back to a normal life at some point, and we have you know, those revenue streams are continue to grow, and we have a higher cap number, and you have the possibility for adding players. I mean, they're kind of a destination now for players. So, you know, they've done a lot of things right. I like, you know, Pelech and Pulech on defense are two of the really good young defensemen in this league. You know, they got Noah Dobson on the way up. You know, they still got it. They got Scott Mayfield, who's a guy that is, at his price tag, is just a bargain in this league. And, you know, they've done a nice job there. They have Varlamov in goal. Sorokin is the kind of the, you know, kind of their answer to Shesterkin. So we'll see, you know, how things look for him. Both of those guys were talked about for so long en route to getting to the National Hockey League. So Barzal's re-signed. They have a kind of offense by committee, and they have a terrific coach, and they really have good structure in their game. So when you think about a 56-game schedule and kind of, you know, a lot of kind of uncertainty, I always, at least to start, you got to like structure, you got to like good defense. So I think the Islanders are going to be, you know, they're going to be there every night. You know what they're going to do.
Well, part of the beauty of this podcast, and listen, we're shot out of a cannon today. I mean, we haven't done this in 10 months. You know, we can't get to everything, and we're gonna come back on Thursday and recap Wednesday and kind of preview the games coming up on Thursday. And we're going to try to do this every single day. But I think what makes this work, EJ, is when we incorporate the fans and get to talk about their teams. Because what the best way to shut somebody up, you don't talk about my team. Well, tweet at me, ask me a question about your team, and then that's all it takes. We're on board here. So let's get to the tweets. You ready?
All right.
All right. Michael wants to know, do you see Matt Murray bouncing back in Ottawa?
Well, Matt Murray, when he's been healthy, has been pretty good. I mean, he's won two Stanley Cups with the Pittsburgh Penguins. And, you know, I thought that he had some struggles last year, but I thought he found his game in the second half, and he seemed to be their guy. And then we ended up in the stoppage, right? And then we come back from the return to play, and the Penguins didn't lose in the first round of Montreal because their goaltending was bad. They lost because they didn't score. And so, you know, Murray ends up going to Ottawa. He's on a longer-term contract there. They have a number of really good young players, and they're going to probably be fun to watch. They'll probably have nights when they don't defend very well, and Matt Murray will be called upon to be the answer there. I think the problem will be is he's going to be playing behind a team, again, that's going to be a little helter-skelter because of young defensemen. So it's going to be a challenge. I think Matt Murray's biggest challenge is just to stay healthy.
Yeah,
because he's a lean guy. He's a little like Tuukka Rask, and he's long and he's lean, and you know, he gets dinged up and he gets worn down. So I think Ottawa's going to have to manage his games this year, particularly because they're going to be in like a high volume chance games where, you know, he's going to have to work. So DJ Smith, the coach there, is going to have to monitor that. But I think Matt is, when he's healthy, he's been a pretty good goalie.
Tommy asks a very interesting question. Do you think we won't see any trades between the North and other divisions due to the mandatory quarantine for crossing the border?
Well, that's a really interesting question, right? I mean, that is something that you have to take into account. That said, I think, you know, depending upon what time of the season it is, I think teams are going to, you know, if there's a player they want and they're in a position like, you know, it depends where you are, right? If you have a cushion, and you're setting yourself up for the postseason, you can acquire a player, and you have the ability to let them sit and watch for those days or quarantine. If you're right up against it and you need to win every game down the stretch, you're probably less likely to make a move like that. So I think it's a really good question, and it's something that teams will have to consider when they're looking at making moves. But I do think the teams that are at the top that are setting themselves up for the postseason, I think they're in a position to still do that.
So obviously, if you're making a trade to make the playoffs, the answer is no, you're not going to do that. If it's to solidify the playoffs and for the postseason, then I guess certainly it would be worth it. Dick says, last season you correctly predicted Dallas to go to the finals, which I did. How will they do?
Congratulations. I mean, that was such a weird year, right? Because it was like two seasons. And Dallas was weird last year because I think everybody kind of liked Dallas at the start of the year because they were, so remember, they lost in double overtime to the Blues, who went on to win the Stanley Cup.
Right.
They could have easily been the team to be in that circumstance in the previous year. They started off the season horrendously. Then they got going. Then their coach, out of nowhere, gets fired for personal issues. They play in the Cotton Bowl and Winter Classic for, you know, in front of 75,000 or 80,000 fans, which was unbelievable. I was there for that, and they had it was kind of Dallas Stars hockey. They got behind and then they kind of grinded it out and rallied to win. Then near the point where we were going to the stoppage, they really were struggling again.
Right.
And then you get into the return to play, and their starting goalie is just out of the picture with injury, and their number two, Anton Khudobin, takes them on this magical run where they, you know, beat Colorado and Vegas en route to a cup final appearance. And basically, they just, even though, you know, give Tampa full marks for winning because they were a twisted team, the Dallas Stars just had they were beaten down by injuries. They lost a number of players and had guys playing with injury, and, you know, at the end of the day, the Tampa Bay Lightning were just too much for them. But, you know, moving forward, Bishop is still hurt. There was some kind of visa issue with Khudobin. They've got a COVID issue, but they've had to reschedule. You know, Corey Perry has left. Some of the, you know, they had a couple of shuffles to the roster. All that said, they still have a pretty good group.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be harder for them this year, just because a couple of the high-end players are just maybe another year older. They're going to have younger players come in and play. Well, all that said, I love Haskin, and he's one of my favorite players in the league, such a great defenseman. And so, you know, they got good players there, and they should be in the mix. I just don't know if they're going to be able to get all the way to the end again.
I don't even want to take credit for my prediction of them going to the finals, because one of the reasons I had them go to the final was I thought, you know, they had Ben Bishop and he had been there and done that, and Ben Bishop had nothing to do.
Nothing to do with it.
I guess, you know, thank you for remembering that.
Hey, take credit, Donnie, because, you know, listen, they still got there. That's all that matters.
This is a tough one for me because I've gotten a lot of pushback from Devil fans on this. Shining Wizards Kevin says, with Corey Crawford retiring, how much bigger of a role does that put on the Devils and Mackenzie Blackwood during a short and condensed season? Does it make a big difference for the Devils overall? And the postscript to that, I guess I wanted to say from that tweet, EJ, is I don't know everything that went into Corey's decision to retire, but he did not leave the Devils in the greatest of spots, right? You're talking about depth at goaltending, and they're really relying on someone who had won a Stanley Cup and played well to really solidify that position, and he retired, and not knowing the situations, I'm not going to kill him for making that life decision, but it did not put the Devils in a great spot.
No, it didn't, and it's unfortunate, and Corey has gone through a lot in his career, from injuries to personal issues, and he's been a great goalie in this league. And you know, I don't think he probably gets enough credit. You know, goalies that play behind teams that are great teams, like the Blackhawks teams were that won three Stanley Cups, he was part of two of them, don't probably get as much credit as they should. But you know, it is unfortunate. I hope that, you know, Corey, you know, moving forward is able to, you know, kind of live his life with his family and, you know, kind of deal with the issues that he's had, because he's had some things away from the rink that have really been problematic for him. But you're right, puts him in a bad spot, puts a lot more pressure on Mackenzie Blackwood. They got Wedgwood there. They picked up Eric Comrie on waivers. Yeah. And Eric Comrie is a goalie that was in the Winnipeg Jets system. And, you know, I know, talking to our friend Steve Valiquette, he always liked him as a younger goalie. And he found himself in Winnipeg originally kind of behind some big dogs there, right? Hellebuck was there, and, you know, they've had some other, Laurent Brossoit played very well as a backup a couple of years ago. Maybe he's a kid that could come in and, with a new lease on life, get some opportunity with the Devils as well. But it's certainly not optimum to have such inexperience in goal when you are in a rebuilding circumstance in a very tough division where, you know, you're going to be playing you know, some real tough teams night after night after night after night. But I look at the Devils as this is a team that, to me, they've just got to worry about the rebuild, the night to night, the shift to shift, to get just to continue to try to get better and see where they are at the end of the season. Because the future, I still think, is bright. They've got a lot of good players in their system. I'll be curious to see how Jack Hughes does this year. I think he's someone that will really probably will have benefited from all this time off to train and to continue to get bigger and stronger. So, you know, I look at the Devils, they're in a rebuild. They've got good players in their system. They've got good players, some good young players in their group. I think they'll be competitive, but I don't think, you know, I don't see them certainly as a team that's going to challenge for the playoffs, but that's not where they're at. They got to worry about the, you know, just continuing to get better and hoping those young players continue to move forward.
Always a pleasure. It was so good to hear your voice again, although we did speak during the pandemic, but able to do this.
We have to be, let's have honesty with the listeners here, you know.
All right, so let's try to get back into the flow like every Monday like we used to do, yeah. And if anything kind of breaks and happens, but I just couldn't in good conscience do the first Game Misconduct in 10 minutes without you.
Well, thank you, Don. I'm here for you anytime, and it's good for the people who are, for the fans listening, good to be back. And, hey, enjoy it, because it's going to be kind of a crazy competitive year. And for the locals who are in the New York area, they all have really interesting stories, I think, Rangers, Islanders, and Devils, that are different stories, but interesting stories. So it should be a fascinating year.
All right, buddy. We'll talk to you next week.
All right. You got it, Donnie.
All right. That is the great E.J. Raddick. Always great to talk to him and get things going again here on Game Misconduct. Before I sign off, I just wanted to kind of throw out my predictions here. ESPN always asks me, they send a questionnaire of what I like and who's going to win and all that. That's going to be eventually published on ESPN.com, but I figured I'd give you a little bit of a sneak peek here for the people that listen to Game Misconduct. I've got my top four teams in the Eastern Division being Boston, the Islanders, the Rangers, and Philly. So I've got Washington and Pittsburgh on the outside. In the Central, I've got in the Central Division, I have Tampa, Carolina, Dallas, and Columbus. So that's going to be interesting, some of the teams that are going to miss there. I've got Nashville on the outside, Florida on the outside. In the North Division, that is obviously the Canadian Division, I've got Toronto, Vancouver, Winnipeg, and Calgary. And in the West, I've got Colorado, St. Louis, Vegas, and Arizona getting in. And I've got the Avalanche winning the Stanley Cup. I got Nathan MacKinnon winning the Hart. I got Connor McDavid winning the Ross. I've got Alexander Ovechkin winning the Rocket Richard for the most goals. I got John Carlson winning the Norris. I've got Ilya Samsonov winning the Vezina is a bit of a surprise. I just couldn't, in good conscience, for a third consecutive year, make a Vasilevsky. I've got Ilya Sorokin as the Calder Trophy for Rookie of the Year, and I've got David Quinn, the Rangers head coach, winning the Jack Adams Trophy, and I do have a vote for that. I do have the Rangers making the playoffs, but I understand all the concerns that EJ has, because I think this is going to be a team that's going to be good for a long, long time. But I do think there's going to be that sense of urgency to make this happen this year. And I think the big X factor is going to be a full dose of Igor Shesterkin between the pipes. And let's not forget, he didn't get that opportunity in the qualifying round against the Hurricanes. I think that he will be the big factor. The feeling is that he could be the Andrew Luck to Manning, that he could be the young to Montana, that you had a great Hall of Fame goaltender for nearly two decades and be able to hand it off to another goaltender that might be able to do the same. And I think that's where the Rangers are kind of set up at. So we got the season beginning tomorrow with a slew of games, including a 5:30 tilt. So that's going to have a throwback to the bubble when we're going to get a chance to see some games in the afternoon. But a 5:30 game between the Flyers and the Penguins. 7 o'clock, you got the Canadiens and the Leafs. We'll get a heavy dose of that with them playing 8 times during the course of the year. 8 o'clock, the Blackhawks and the Lightning. At 10 o'clock, Canucks and Oilers. And at 10:30, the Blues and the Avalanche. So that's going to be fun. And then a bunch of games on Thursday, including the two New York teams with the Rangers and the Islanders playing. Devils will be home for the Boston Bruins. So here's the lay of the land for the rest of the week. We're going to take off tomorrow just because I got to take my mom to the doctor, full disclosure. But then Thursday we'll come back. We'll recap all the games from Wednesday, preview the games for Thursday, and get back to normal here. And I want to make a little bit of an introduction here at the end of the podcast. RJ Santillo, who did a tremendous job producing and directing and editing this podcast, has moved on to greener pastures. So Anthony Pusick, who is every bit the hockey fan that RJ was, he's a big Ranger fan, he is taking over things here. And that allowed us to continue and bring back game misconduct, because as things are getting back to normal and Anthony has volunteered to help out, so Anthony Pusick is now the guy. So a little less Buffalo Sabre talk here on the Game Misconduct podcast, but he will be the person booking the guests. He'll be the person running the board. He'll be the person editing this. So welcome aboard, Anthony Pusick. So we will talk to you again on Thursday. This, oh, it's so good to stay, is the Tuesday edition of Game Misconduct.
This is the Game Misconduct Podcast with Don LaGreca.